And now, Lord, we pray that as we open your word today, it'll be a blessing to us as we go through probably many verses we know, but just a reminder about how great you are and how powerful is your word to us. So bless us and guide us in this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about one of the heroes of the faith. We had a series a year ago about heroes of the faith. And when Dom asked me to give a message for these 2 weeks, this week and next week, I thought, who's my hero of the faith? And I thought, I think it has to be John, the Apostle John. And I thought of all that John had said, and I thought, wow, that's good stuff, and it's so rich. It might take me 4 weeks to do it. I'm not going to do it all this morning. So as we look back at our Christmas and start into 2023, we've probably connected with many friends and particularly enjoyed our close friends. Is that true for you as well? Sadly, it's not for everyone, is it? Many of us have one or two really close friends. Perhaps that's even a relative, although some of you can say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. Whoops. Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? So you don't have to call this out, although we've got a small group, we possibly could, but who is your best friend right now? Or who has been the most valued friend you have ever had? It's probably not hard to think about, is it? Because you got your hand up. Yeah?
Noah.
Oh, he's your favourite, is he? All right, thank you for being outspoken. Yeah, but think about that all through this message this morning. It could be a family member, a wife or a husband, or some kind of partner. Maybe you can remember a number of best friends throughout your life's history. And I guess because I've had a long life, I've had a few friends along the way. So that is the case with me. My brother was my best friend because we grew up together, went to boarding school together, away from our parents, which made us stick together closely, and we've had a solid lifelong bond of trust. We farmed together in cooperation. We communicated regularly and trusted each other. We had faith and honesty with each other. And he was running a farm 20 k's from our farm. And each Sunday evening, I'd give him about a half an hour telephone call to have a chat about last week and the week ahead if I hadn't seen him through the week. And we did some planning on that Sunday night together, and we just enjoyed those nice long chats that you can have with a brother who's about the same height, looked a bit the same, and we were a bit cheeky at times because he lived closer to Cowra and I lived closer to Young. And when I went to Cowra, they'd say, "G'day Peter, how are you?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm fine, I'm doing great. You know, how are things on the farm?" "Good." And when he went to Young, they'd say, "Hello Bill, how are you?" And he'd say, "Good. How are things on the farm?" And he'd say, "Good." And they'd walk along chuckling. Sorry, that's a bit of the sin nature coming out there. But it also in my case, my marriage and relationship with Gillian in marriage is one of trust, reliance, friendship, love, and commitment. And how valuable is that? I've often spoken about our friendship. The friendship started when we were barely teenagers. I won't tell you the story again, you've heard it. By the grace of God, we've been together in marriage, well, in 4 weeks' time or 5 weeks' time, it will be 58 years. How good is Gillian and how good is God in that? I can't believe it. You know, I can't believe that's how long it is. Even Jesus had a close friend in his ministry. His name was John, a disciple of Jesus. Not John the Baptist, you might be thinking of John the Baptist, but John, one of the apostles that Jesus chose to follow him and carry on the message of the gospel. When you get to have a close friend, you get to know about most details of their life. And John wrote extensively about Jesus' life and mission on earth, and also about the prophetic future of Christianity in the book of the Revelation. My life has changed dramatically because of how clear and direct his writings are, because he spoke clearly to believers as well as the Gentiles, who were not originally the chosen ones. Right from the very start of John chapter 1, verse 1, there's a dramatic reveal of just how big Jesus is in the plan of God, our Father. And John the Apostle writes of Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if we skip down to verse 14, we see what John said of Jesus as he was beside him and saw what he was done. He walked right beside him. He saw what he'd done. And in verse 14 it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." How powerful is that? How powerful is that? To write words like this, you have to be out of your mind or deadly certain that you know it and that you must have enough proof of it so you don't look like someone who's crazy. And perhaps to the world we are crazy as believers. Perhaps the world sees us this way, but having tried it and worked with God, haven't we noticed the difference? Haven't we noticed the difference? John had seen many of the miracles that Jesus had performed in his ministry and couldn't help but declare it to the world and right down to us through the preserved scriptures. John records 8 major miracles amongst the others recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And yeah, if you're there with the Son of God and you see him healing people, raising the dead, turning water into wine, and seeing this and the crowd's going, "Oh, who is this?" And wouldn't you want to write about it? Wouldn't you want to record it? And he must have been some person, this John. He must have had an incredible memory because, you know, all this was written and recorded because he felt the need to record it and tell the world, not only then in the first century, which was the life of John, but right through these 300 years. And it's preserved right until now. And it's so clear and it's so concise. And he was an eyewitness of the account. Wasn't he the one who Jesus talked to when he was dying on the cross and said, "Your mother"? Wasn't he the one that reached down to his best friend and if you like, favourite disciple and said, "Look after her, she's your mother"? Yeah. The commentary on the person of the Apostle John says he lived to a ripe old age. You may remember that he also wrote the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. To illustrate the closeness of the Apostle John to Jesus, we can look at a few verses in John 13, verses 21 to 27 at the Last Supper, where all the disciples of Jesus were present. Would someone like to read that?
"After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, 'Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly."
So we know John was there at the Last Supper. And some of these incredible events that were about to happen. And so in verse 23, we read one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. That was John. So he was the one whom Jesus loved. All the other disciples knew that he was closest to him. And so here's someone who wrote the Gospel of John, John 1, 2. Is it John 3? 1 John 3? Epistle? And the Revelation as well. And so so much of the Bible and so much of the meat and the future is there for us to read. Theologians agree that that disciple was John, and the one I'm considering today as my hero of faith. So today I'm talking about trusted friends who know about Jesus, telling others one of the most important truths they know because of their own testimony and knowledge of God through the Scriptures. So when we're talking about the friend of God, we're talking about us as friends of God as well. And Mal and Chris chose that first song, Friends of God, about friends of God. And that's what we are. In John 15:15, he writes of Jesus, and these are the words of Jesus.
"I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you."
I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Yeah, so that's there. And that's the words of Jesus. But stepping back, we have some very compelling words in John 1, 9 to 13, where we read, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Aren't they great words to tell people? Yeah, to encourage people with. And I've used that many, many times. "Yet to all who receive him, those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's such a powerful thing. So powerful it is. And this was recorded as a rebuke, actually, to the so-called godly leaders who didn't recognise Jesus as the Son of God, but also shows the openness there now is to all who will listen to his call on their lives. Another great practical teaching lesson recorded by John about Jesus is the account of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. And you probably know the story well. I don't have to go through it. And in John 4, 7 to 10, we read, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I asked Gillian if she'd prepare a little something for the start of the meeting today. I just simply said it's about John and Jesus. And she found something, on Facebook. And it talked about two elements that we're concentrating on today. And she wouldn't let me read her notes. But you can see how God draws you together with the same theme. How God talks about these beautiful things. And that verse, I'll just do a little aside to that verse. When we were travelling through Europe in 2007, we met a lady called Donna. And she was a close friend through the trip. So close that we actually hugged her and by the end of the 7 days on the bus. And she stayed on Facebook as friends and she's a Christian, and she sends things through to us. And she sent through this text to our Facebook, and Gillian spotted it. And so that's a Christian friend from 2007 who lives near Alaska, would you believe? Alaska. She's a lovely Christian girl, and she works in a hospital there in Alaska in the ice and snow. Sorry, that's just a little aside. Again, in John 7, 37 to 39, John records Jesus' words. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. How powerful is that too? Using everyday and everyday events like water. But that's probably enough to look at today about John's writing about Jesus. I've found it so inspiring over the years to read through. And I'm going to go on from here next week in looking further into some beautiful words and beautiful teaching he had as the best friend of Jesus. There is a song, Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant. And I guess we want to be a servant of God as well, don't we? And that's a great song too. I'm not decrying that. But we don't have to feel enslaved or driven by law so much to Jesus, because as with the disciples, when we accept Christ as our Saviour and become the friends of God, we become part of God's family by being born again into his family with the trust and reliance one can have as a close friend who walks with us by his Spirit within us. There are so many opportunities given to us as Christians by the avenue of close friendship, and it's called friendship evangelism. And when you're close to people, they want to know about you. And we need to be clear and know and be able to testify about what God has done for us without bombing people out. You know, there's this delicate balance, isn't there? We don't want to walk around with a big black Bible and go, have you heard about this? It's about having a coffee together. It's having a meal together. It's developing and creating relationships, walking beside people. My brother and I used to loan money to each other even. That's risky, isn't it? But he always paid it back and I paid him back. And we helped each other in that way. On Friday, I was asked to conduct a funeral of a lady who has attended the Salvation Army and whose marriage I conducted some years ago. And I don't know whether you met her in church here or at City Core. And her name is Debbie Barnes. You might have known her as Debbie Willenbreck. Yes, and she passed away at age 65, holding reasonable health until just over 8 weeks ago now. They discovered cancer in her pancreas and her liver. And when she went in for help because of the pain she had a stroke as well. Sorry to go through the details. And so I'd been a friend of hers and Don Barnes, who comes to her breakfast here. And I'd been a friend for years and dropped in for coffee. We'd gone to trips out towards the caves and done many things together, walked some miles together. And had not seen it that much, but the friendship just resumed from last time. You know those kind of friends? You can pick up on the friends. And when she was in her final days, you had to get an appointment because she had so many friends, on this theme of friends. Because she had so many friends, we had to ring up and get an appointment because she was at home and she wanted to be at home in her very last days. Like my brother also stayed at home and wanted to go off the farm with his boots on as a farmer. And anyway, Gillian and I visited her in a hospital bed in her home, and even though she had a stroke and was partly paralysed, as soon as she saw us and we walked into the room where their bed was, she was awake enough and alive enough to say to us, before even we said hello, "It's about faith, family and friends." And I think she said it again, didn't she? Faith, family, friends. She wanted us to know that that was her priority in life as she faced imminent death a few days later. We held her hand and prayed with her, and she was totally with us. It was a beautiful moment. She was prepared to meet her God. I didn't know what to expect when we visited her. But her faith, family, and friends knew of a Christian conviction because she practiced it. Many of her friends weren't Christian. And she was a person who had so many. I thought, they asked me because they knew me as well as anyone, and they said, "Will you conduct the funeral?" And in some ways I'm a bit reluctant to say yes, because it takes a lot out of you when a friend dies. And a couple of days after we'd spoken to the daughter, Brioni, she said, "Oh, it's going to be live streamed to America." And I'm going, "What the?" And also, when we turned up at Norwood Park, 200 people came. Her family and friends from Victoria and all over the place. 200 people came. Not to worry, Bill. One man and God is a majority in any crowd. I said, and the service was live streamed to the many other friends as we said farewell together. And praise be to God, it was a great farewell to her. Thank God for Debbie Barnes. Please be with all her friends who will miss her so much, age 65. Close, cultured friendship is an amazing thing with Jesus and John, especially when it has the faith element to supercharge it. That makes the difference. Supercharged when God is there by that dynamic spirit he has. It was dynamic for the Christian message to the world through the close friend of Jesus who reported it to us, the Apostle John. Is your faith and friendship working for you to spread the gospel message? Heavenly Father, we give thanks because you have such a plan, a beautiful plan laid out for our lives and indeed for the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We thank you for that promise, and for us it's true. And we want to value our friendship with Jesus, and we want to value our friendship with others. Help us as we do this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And would you like to stand, if that's okay with you, would you like to stand for the benediction? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Bless you as you go through this week.